Hey, hey, this is Rebbetzin Vefkan Grossman from the Connected for Real podcast, and I want you to have access to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat right here in your ears. If you would like to access all of the links, workbook, or get your free one-on-one with me, go to connectedforreal.com/retreat. Enjoy. Welcome, everyone, to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat Day 1. Woo-hoo! This is the retreat number 8. Can you believe it? My gosh, I am beyond impressed with myself. I just had to say that. Okay, we're going to start with introducing myself. I am Rebbetzin Vefkan Grossman. I'm a marriage coach for women in business. You're going to hear all about me. It's pretty awesome. I will tell you my whole story in as quickly as possible. Let me give you the structure of the retreat first, just so that we're all on the same page. Okay. So the structure of this retreat and why I did it this way, all the good stuff coming right up. We're doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The first 4 days are the calm method, which is the method that I created, you know, from knowing to know exactly what to do in the moment when you're feeling frustrated, resentful, annoyed, you know, blah, all those icky things, icky feelings, and how to get to feeling really amazing and thriving and being like, yeah, this doesn't even bother me. Okay. So that's the calm method we're going to talk about. I'm going to introduce it. Don't worry. Today I had a sick baby at home, and so it was yesterday. So I've been like, yay, I'm actually here. And it's happening. So thank God, all is good. And hopefully he's coming back to school tomorrow. So it's going to be good to nursery. So the first 4 days, right? Then we take a break. Friday and Saturday, there is no Zoom. It is so that we can all rest. We can let it sink in. We could let it seep in. It's really, really important, right? Because I've tried to do all these challenges and things, and you sign up with all the best intentions, and then you can't follow through because it's too much. So I'm taking those 2 days intentionally for rest, for allowing it to implement, for being able to practice what we learn. Okay. And I'm specifically doing it after day 4 because the first 4 days are the full system. So day 1 is connect to yourself. Day 2 is ask for abundance. Day 3 is listen for the answer. And day 4 is master a higher level of consciousness. You do not need to know this by heart right now. You probably will by the end of this. Who has their workbooks? Show me the workbook. Yay. Awesome. Raising hands. I love it. Great. Okay. This workbook is an amazing asset. It's not just a workbook. It's not just a piece of paper. It will become the thing you turn to know how to get yourself out of a bad mood, out of one of these, icky feelings. And I love how Hannah Mason calls them icky, icky, very fancy word. So you're going to be able to turn to it to get you out of it. You're also going to turn to it in order to up-level, in order to maintain, in order to master. These are amazing things that are going to be happening. And you want to have your workbook. A lot of you ask, why? Why am I doing this? Why is this free? What's the catch? What's going on? So I tell you everything up front. There is no catch. This is completely free. There are 7 days. I told you, the first 4 are connected. The first 4 days, the calm method. The last 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, are very hot topics. And I wanted to address them and make sure that you have the way to use the calm method in these situations because it's so important. Day 5, which is Sunday, is intimacy, enhance your intimacy. Day 6 is design the atmosphere of your home. Okay. Day 7 is putting it all together, questions and answers. You're going to be able to get a really amazing experience. The last day is my favorite because we do a meditation that takes you into this future. It's great. It's great. Now, if you, for some reason, can't come one of the days, we do send out the recordings, and the recordings are available during the retreat. So after the retreat is over, they expire. Okay. Great. Let's do it. I am going to introduce myself. I'm Revitzen Batren Grossman. As I said, Revitzen, for all of you who don't know, is an honorary title, means rabbi's wife, and it basically points people to the people who are in the leadership role within the community. Okay, so the rabbi is the leader, his wife would be the Revitzen, and they are, you know, the ones you go to for guidance, for advice, for assistance, for whatever. Okay. And it was very hard for me at first to call myself that, because to me, in my mind, a Revitzen was a very old lady, you know, and he was like, you grow, my mother was, and to me, she was older, right? So obviously she wasn't an old lady when I was a kid, but that's how I saw it. So for me, it was hard to come to peace with that title. But on the other hand, I also did a lot of mindset work around it and realized that it's something that I totally am. I am, since I'm a little girl. Everybody turns to me. Everybody comes to ask me for advice. And it's a way for me to be completely honest with myself about who I am. And, you know, sometimes you try to be humble and be like, oh, I'm a nobody, right? No, don't look at me. No, I don't need any titles. And then you end up tripping people up, because then they go to the people who maybe aren't the right person for them, or they don't know to go to you because they don't have the signs for it. So instead of being fake humble, I decided to be real humble. And, you know, the humblest man in history is Moses. And he wasn't walking around saying, oh, I'm a nobody, don't look at me. He actually realized that he was given a leadership role and that his job is to do his role, right? And to fill that role. So that's who I am taking my notes from. And I am doing my best to show up the way that I was called to show up. And one of the ways to do that is by making sure that I communicate about who I am. So that was a short introduction to why I call myself Revitzen. Some of you don't know Hebrew, so I will tell you, my name Batren means daughter of grace, which is actually a cool thing. It also means daughter of, and then Chen is my parents' initials. So they did that because it was cute. And I think it's very fun. So that was just another fun personal thing about me. Okay. I'm a marriage coach for women in business. So I am going to use women in business in some of my examples, because that's my niche and those are my people. That doesn't mean that if you're not in business, you're not going to gain a lot out of this retreat. It really just means that, you know, those are the examples I'm pulling from, because those are the people I'm working with. Okay. The reason why I chose to work with women who are in business is because I started out as a woman in business. I wasn't always a marriage coach, even though I was advising since I was probably 14 or maybe before that, but I was a graphic designer and I worked on Fifth Avenue. I went to Pratt Institute. If anybody knows, I came to Israel. We made Aliyah, which means we moved to Israel, and I started working in Jerusalem for the top graphic designer, Ben Gassner. One second, let me charge my phone, my computer, I mean, because I see that it's low. How awesome is it to have technical issues in the middle of day one of a retreat? Okay, great. So I was a graphic designer. I started working. I started climbing the ladder. I don't do things mediocre. I just don't know how. I love doing things, you know, top, top, top. So I worked on Fifth Avenue. I had an amazing job. I loved my bosses. And then I, you know, had a baby. I started doing things from home. We made Aliyah, we moved to Israel, and I started working for the top graphic designer in Jerusalem, who is absolutely amazing and I absolutely love. And then I had more babies and I had to stop going into work. So I started working from home. I became a freelancer and then I started getting my own clients. And with time, I was growing and growing and growing. And I realized something really great. In order to grow your business, take notes, the best way to do it is with a network. Okay. So I was going to all these conferences and all these get-togethers and I was networking with people and I love people. So it wasn't a problem for me. I love making friends. And the more friends I made who were in the business sector, the more I realized that we all have the same problem. We are all holding ourselves back from getting too big. We're all trying to grow just enough to make it, but not too much that it will pay, that will take a toll on our house, that will take a toll on our marriage. And I thought, okay, I thought I was the only one. I thought my husband was the one holding me back. And I was really resentful and really upset with him, by the way. Like I really exploded on at him one time. I remember this very clearly. And I started screaming at him, "You're the reason why I'm not growing my business. You're the reason why I can't get big clients. You're the reason why blah, blah, blah," right? And it's because you're holding me back. It's because if I get too big, then you're going to get jealous. It's because, and you know, my husband's just looking at me, "I don't know where you got this from." And it was very upsetting that he didn't know what I was talking about, because it was obvious to everyone but him that he was the problem. So it's fun to laugh about it now, but it wasn't as funny then. And then I realized, oh, so it doesn't have to be this way. And at that moment, I decided that I don't have to choose between a successful business and a thriving marriage, right? I don't have to be resentful anymore. I don't have to be frustrated. It did not happen overnight. But what happened was that I started looking at where I can change that double bind, right? It's called a double bind when you have two things that are bound together, but they don't have to be. So we have this, by the way, with a lot of our beliefs, right? I don't want to lose weight because skinny people are shallow. I don't want to have too much money because rich people are mean, right? Come up with your own thing. My money thing was, I don't want to be too rich because then I won't be as humble. Then I won't be as connected, right? I grew up where we were like, just making it. So we were always very connected because we needed, you know, God's help for every next move. So we were seeing miracles all the time. So I was like, if I have money, I'm not going to see miracles anymore. Right. I had to work on that. So man, today I'm being very vulnerable. This is very exciting. You guys get a nice version of me. Okay. So a really, really important double bind that I found that I didn't like was, if I succeed in my business, if I actually break through, if I make it big, then I will have to pay a price with my marriage. And by the way, I kept seeing examples of people who made it to the six figures, people who made it to the million, people who made it to whatever it was that they set their mind to do. And the next thing you hear about them is that they got divorced. And it was petrifying to me because my marriage was my number one priority. I was not going to give that up for anything. Right? So I had very clear priorities, but I was very upset about it. like if I just wasn't a good girl, or if I wasn't the one that actually cared, then this would be so easy, right? Like, it was very frustrating. And so, you know, move a little bit forward. And when I realized that double bind, and I decided to actually, no, I'm going to prove to myself that I can make it big and keep my marriage really strong. And not only that, I'm going to start allowing, this is called expansion. I'm going to allow for more of everything, right? More support, more assistance, more help, more team playing, more, you know, I'm going to make room. And suddenly all my friends are asking me, how did you do it? And I'm like, do what? Like, you seem to be really successful. And I was a really, really awesome graphic designer. I still am, because you never undo what you are, but I don't do it anymore. I do it for myself and for my husband's books. Those are the two things I still do. And my husband's books, I always try to delegate it to someone else. So it's just not, never good enough. I always have to take it back and do it myself. So I learned my lesson and I just do it now on my own. I was the best graphic designer. I had it in my niche was in packaging. I loved what I did. People asked me for advice. People, you know, hired me for big things. I felt really important. And then the next thing, you know, thank God that was great. But the next thing that happened was that I would come home from a meeting And in the meeting, you know, I was in Tel Aviv. I got to rent a car and I got to go there and, you know, show up, and they asked me all the questions. And I, you know, big questions like how much to order from China and which colors should we get for the season and blah, blah, blah. And then I come home and of course with full bags because I have all the samples and all the things, right? And I actually felt myself getting closer to the door, lowering the volume on myself, shrinking myself back so that I don't hurt my husband's ego, right? Like, here I am going to walk in and be like, woohoo, look who's home. And I know already that my husband's going to be like, it's not fair. I'm not making it. I'm a loser. I'm not successful. I can't figure this out. It's not the truth, right? Obviously, he's not a loser and he, you know, is exactly where he needs to be. But in the rabbinical field, especially here in Israel, where almost everyone is a rabbi. So what do? You try to be a teacher. You try to find some work. You try to like do things that aren't actual rabbinical because there aren't that many jobs to go around. And so in those days, he was really looking for himself and he couldn't figure it out. And it was very frustrating for him on his end. So I felt really conflicted. And so I'm constantly shrinking myself down. I am shrinking myself back. I'm lowering the volume on myself. And I walk into the house as if like, no, don't look at me. Nothing happened. Everything's okay. I put my stuff down. Suddenly I'm like, mom again, you know, nothing happened. And like inside I'm bubbling because it's not fair. It shouldn't be this way. I should be allowed to just be happy with who I am and blah, blah, blah. Right. So this inner dialogue is going on. That's the next level up, right? We're constantly going up a level. And then I don't remember what happened. One second. I'm trying to remember because I went off script and now I don't remember where I'm going with this because you guys are so cool. It's fun to look at your faces. Okay. Okay. I don't know where I was going with this and we have more to learn. So I'm just going to, let's see if I can close up the thing. You were really speaking to me. I've been a stay-at-home mom, stopping pursuing my dreams because I didn't want to outdo my husband and make him feel bad and less manly. Yes. Yes. And the thing is that I realized something really important. I'm going to like slip it in here because we're already talking about it. The old-fashioned marriage advice wasn't working for me. And it's because old-fashioned marriage advice is for the old-fashioned couple, right? The husband's on top, the wife's on the bottom. Something isn't right because there's no evenness. So what do we need to do? We need to empower the wife. We need to pump her up. We need to teach her how to have her own, you know, standing so that she could be even with her husband. That's great when it's old-fashioned. What happens when the wife's up here? So what we've been doing is we've been pumping the wife, empowering her, making her feel really capable, really important, really powerful. And what happens is that we're actually making the gap bigger. We're actually creating more distance. We think that what worked then is going to work now. And really we're finding that all the most amazing, you know, old-fashioned marriage advice is creating more harm than good. And it's because most of us are actually living like right here, right now, when women are empowered and we're doing things and we're not afraid to stand up and, you know, speak our truth and blah, 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 right? We're really in a different place. And by the way, I have a reason or explanation for that. It's because we're in the time of redemption. And in the time of redemption, we know that women are going to be leading this redemption. The redemption is really going to be a change in mindset, an entire consciousness that is changing in the world. And the only way that it's happening is with the women leading, right? Men, they lead one guy. He's the leader, right? Everybody follow me. And like, then you have fights because everybody wants to be the leader, right? There's a problem with the men being leaders. And that's just the nature of it. Women lead in packs. Women fly together. So you could feel this if you're in any networking group and if you're in any abundance mindset setting, everybody's helping everyone. The networks are happening, the referrals, the, you know, collaborations. It's so fun, right? You're just like, woohoo, flying together. That's why community is so important. So we're in the time of redemption. We're seeing it very clearly with the women being on top, and that's not a mistake. What is a mistake is using old things in order to fix the new things. That's not working. So I had to actually go out of my way to find what's working for me. And once I found what works for me, I have created this retreat for you. So listen up if you're a powerful woman. My husband has criticized super loud and out there women saying the husbands aren't respected, etc. Makes me want to stay small, even though he said that I expand in a non-overpowering way. Yes, by the way, we're going to talk about this. I love it that you brought this up. Okay. You got your workbook? We're going to get right into it because I want you to have the most out of today. Let me just give you an overview of the CALM method because we are getting into the CALM method. CALM stands for connect to yourself. That's step one. Ask for abundance. That's step two. Listen for the answer is step three. And master a higher level of consciousness. That's step four. And those are going to be the next 4 days. So today, step one is connect to yourself. And that's what we're going to do. Now, let me explain to you. Rule number one. In marriage, I was a Laura Doyle coach. I thought the one being more small Torah is... I'll address Laura Doyle. I think she's very nice and her book is pretty wonderful. There are some things that she doesn't talk about. Number one, she doesn't bring in kids because she doesn't have any. And I find that to be lacking in the book because it's just very different dynamics. And number two, I believe that she is God-centered, but she doesn't bring God into any of her stuff. So it's something that I also am very passionate about and I bring into my stuff. So, but yeah, her book, The Empowered Wife, is a pretty good book to read if you would like to go check it out. Introduced me to it after they heard everything I had to say. Like, you sound very much on those lines. So I do, but I don't. We're different people. Okay. So rule number one in marriage. Are you ready? We're getting into it. Listen up. This is when you like really listen and take notes and focus. And I had to learn this myself. Oh, everything I tell you, I had to learn myself. So I'm doing all the hard work and then teaching it to you. Men want to protect and provide for their women. Okay? That's the rule. That's how God made them. Men are protect and provide, protect and provide. That's all that's going through their head is like protect and provide. Yeah, they have their person that they are in charge of and their goal is to protect and provide. Now, while dating, this works really well because when he makes a joke, you laugh and, you know, he feels wanted and he feels that there's a reaction and there's a really great energy, right? But then what happens when you get married? I don't know why, but for some reason, we stop doing that. We stop reacting in the same way. We get tired of the jokes, right? It's like, it's not funny the third time around. So there's a high in the beginning and then a slump. And then people say, welcome to marriage, right? That's just so mean. It's so awful. I hate that. So don't do that. I think of it as like you're driving, you get into your like newly married car and you're, you know, all the little things and you're like driving, it's so cute. There's like, oh, the scenery and you're all excited, you're hormonal, you're young, you're like, yay. And then you start driving and like the desert's coming and you're like looking around like, what happened to all the pretty things and what happened to all the fun? And you see in the desert, all these cars are parked and you're like, what you doing here? What's going on? Right? So you lower your window. You're like, excuse me, why is everybody parked? And they're like, "It is. This is what it is, you know, yeah, this marriage, yeah." Right? And you're like, This is not what I signed up for. So my advice to you is, by the way, don't park. Do not park. Keep going. Right? Everybody has to go through that slump because it's part of life, but you don't stop there. You keep going. What happens when you keep going is you find your inner strengths. You find how you react to new things. You find how you work together in challenging times. You go through no money. You go through, you know, I don't know. Thank God you should not have anything, right? But there's always those ups and downs, and that's okay. But the danger is parking. So don't listen to all those really annoying like people telling you this isn't it. It's not it. Okay, just keep going. I keep losing my train of thought, so I'm sorry today. But hey, we're human. It's all good. Okay. Oh, yes. Why you should keep going. You should keep going because at the end of that desert, there is the deeper level connection. There is the actual fireworks. There is the actual really beautiful whatever you're going for, right? I love nature. So it's like all the types of greens are there. Right? You just like drive through like a big forest. Ah, oh, gorgeous, right? That's what's on the other side of there. But you have to go through it. Just don't stop. Okay. Now here's the thing, husband, wife, we are different people. We are built differently on purpose. So far, so good. Your husband measures himself, his success, how he measures his success is by how happy you are. The guy could be a multimillionaire, have every single building in the continent, be the top of the world. But if he comes home and you're grumpy and you're like, you're not enough. I can't do this. You're not helping enough. You know, there's enough, right? All miserable. He will measure his own success as a failure. Like he is a loser in his own eyes. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what everything else shows. He does not feel good about himself when you're unhappy. Now, here's the problem. We are uncomfortable being happy. There's this like social thing about women being too happy. And I've heard of it a lot because, you know, I'm a happy person in nature. So you get this like, why are you too happy? You know, why are you happy all the time? Something must be wrong with you. It's like, what, I can't be happy? Right? So there's like a weird thing about being too happy. Something isn't right if you enjoy life. I don't know. Don't ask me because I just don't get it. But this is a thing. We as women feel uncomfortable being fully happy. And so what happens is that he measures his success by how happy she is. She is not fully comfortable being fully happy. So he's never feeling fully successful. And then there's this like weird tension. So then you're like, okay, so, you know, just make her happy. He's like, great. So how do I make her happy? Well, guess what? If he goes out and finds books about how to make women happy, if he Googles, how do you make your wife happy? If he asks other women, how would you want to be happy? It does not matter because she is not any woman. She is this woman. And we're all so unique. So far, so good. Being fully happy is definitely a rare thing, unfortunately. Yes, it is. Thank you for that comment. And so here, the problem is exactly what we need to fix in order to have an amazing marriage. Is be happy. Learn to be happy. Find what makes you happy. We don't even know what makes us happy. Nobody sat there and told us like, okay, let's think about this. We don't know. Okay. I have no problem being fully happy. Great. That's why I like being your friend. I don't have a problem either. That's not true. Sometimes I bump into resistance, but I know what to do about it now. Okay. And that's why today's workbook, page one of the workbook, is finding what makes you happy. Okay. Now we're going to go through it and fill it up right now because I want you to really do it now. Because if I give it to you for homework, you're probably not going to do it. I know. You're welcome. Charlene, you've been here before. Charlene says, being happy is a choice. Yes, it is. And that's why we are doing this, because we are, our goal is to choose to be happy. And when we are choosing to be happy, we can then make him happy just because we're happy. Like, because he measures his success by us. So like, all we have to do is just be happy. It's super simple, right? It sounds ridiculous sometimes, like, oh, it's not. Okay. Now let's get into all your questions that are coming up, but it's not fair. I know, because I said it too. I was sitting at a marriage class, the eight other women, right? We all signed up for this great marriage class with amazing teacher. And she says, you have to take responsibility over your own happiness. And I'm like, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair that I am the one here, right? We are eight women sitting in a circle at a marriage workshop. Where is he? Why is it fair that I keep doing the work? Why is it fair that I'm the one being the good one? Why is it fair that I need to find what makes me happy? Why can't he find what makes me happy? Who says life is fair? Very good. Well, I wanted it to be fair, okay? And so she says, oh, you don't have to. I'm like, I don't have to? Okay. So what are my choices? Right? I don't have to. Says you get to. You get to choose to be happy. You don't have to. You get to be the good one. You don't have to, right? If you like it the way it is, you don't have to change it. That's why one of the things I love about the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat is that you're all here by choice. I didn't make you come here, right? Because you really want to know. I have spent years doing course after course and tried so many things to find my happiness again. I've tried gratitude, presence, life purpose, socializing, etc. I haven't found it yet. Yes, it's a gift you give yourself for your marriage. Yes. Beautiful comments. I will address them. I also tried everything and this is what I found. So I am here to, I called it a breakthrough and not just an upgrade or improvement, because what I'm teaching today and in the next couple of days is the entire roadmap to how to break through. Not just to improve my marriage by 5%, not just to like feel a little better about myself, just to like fall back down, you know, to like comfort zone. This is a real that breakthrough. Okay. Great. So we're sitting in this marriage class. And one of the things we had to do is come up with examples of things that bother us in our marriage. And then she was going to help us work through it. And everybody was coming up with examples and I couldn't come up with any. And by the sixth class, I was getting really frustrated at myself. Like, I am married to a normal human being. Why can't I find something that bothers me? Okay. I happened to be in a good situation in those days. Like, sometimes you're like, yeah, my marriage is doing great. Right. So I couldn't find anything. But then, and I cracked myself up when it happened. And everyone was cracking up too, because I became so animated when I finally found the thing. I was like, I got it. And I stopped everyone from talking. And I was like, I know what bothers me. And everybody stopped. And I was like, okay, listen, you guys, I have my castle. I'm the queen of my castle. Everything is colorful and beautiful and clean and gorgeous and, you know, magnificent. And then he comes in and throws black ink all over it. He's negative. He's, what's that word? Criticism, right? He's like critical of everything. He's negative about everything. He's negative about his own life. So it's like contagious. It's like, ah, right? It's not. I just like want to kick him out of my castle. That's how I explained it. And after making everyone laugh, because it did sound a little over the top with me explaining how, you know, how pretty it is and how black his ink is, she then turned to me and said, oh, it's because you're dependent on him for your happiness. Okay, she had some really great things going. And that night, by the way, I come home. My husband doesn't ask me, what did you learn? He doesn't really care about how the class went. It's just not the thing that we talk about, right? So I do my thing. He does his thing. We talk about other things. But I didn't say a word about the class. I didn't say anything about my aha moment, my very funny aha moment. And I just let it sort of sink in. I brushed my teeth, whatever. We went to sleep. And he fell asleep right away. You know when those, like, those days you're like, you can't sleep, but he's like... And I'm sitting there, I can't sleep. And so I just closed my eyes and I started thinking about it. Like, I'm dependent on him for my happiness. And I saw in my mind's eye a hook, like a line. You know, in Hebrew, the word dependent also means hooked, like hanger, right? I'm hung on. So it's a nice play on words. So I saw a rod and all these hangers on it. And each hanger had something written on it. And then suddenly I saw a ring, like a hook ring thing. And it represented God in my mind. Don't question these things. And I realized that I'm dependent on my husband for my happiness. I don't want to do that. So I unhooked and I said, I don't want to be dependent on you for my happiness. And I clicked it onto the God ring. And I said, I want to be dependent on you for my happiness. And I unclicked, I don't want to be dependent on you for my stability. I want to be dependent on you for my stability. I want to be dependent on you for my safety. I want to be dependent on God for my safety. I want to cry while telling the story because it was so powerful. I never had an experience like that before. And it's something that I guess came with understanding what she said and also just having the quiet, like, you know, forced pause where the whole thing came together. And by the time I was finished with all the hooks, I had a lot of hangers there and I hung them back onto God, I felt so aligned and so free. It was amazing. And I fell asleep. And the next day, out of nowhere, the next day, my husband brought a rose. This is, by the way, the first time he ever did that. He brought a rose from the garden, put it in a vase, and stuck it on my desk without me knowing. And I come into my room, and I was like, what's this? And he's like, I don't know. I just felt like getting you something nice. He knows I like flowers from day one, probably before we even dated. I must have mentioned it or hinted at it. Okay. I love flowers. And he never got me flowers except for when he asked me to marry him, which was very nice of him. And probably like once or twice when we were newly married, but that's it. And when he gave me the flowers when we were newly married, it was something like this. The rabbit told me to give you flowers. And because it's a joke, it's funny to him, but it wasn't funny to me, even though I knew the joke and I could have laughed. But okay, yeah. So I love flowers. I don't know where he got this from. He went to the garden, picked a flower, put it on my desk in a vase, like a single rose. Where did that come from? And he's like, I don't know. I just had a feeling. I had to show you, you know. I was like, whoa. And so I show up the next week to the marriage class. I'm like, okay, guys, it works. It works. I love your comments, but I'm going to go back to them at the end because I'm going to get distracted and I want to get through this. Okay. Being that we went through that meditation story that I had, I want to walk you through the workbook because it's really important. I'm going to put the workbook back in the chat for anybody who came late. Maybe they don't have it. Great. And we're going to do it right now. This is not a one-time I sat down, went through the things that make me happy, and that's it. It's something that you keep collecting and you keep looking for, okay? We're going to go through it, and I want you to start writing some ideas that come up for you, but I also want you to keep it in the back of your head so that when you suddenly think of something that makes you happy, you add it into that list. And then another thing. And then you hear a friend saying something and you're just going to keep collecting. I've been collecting these for a long time and I have a Notion page of all the things that make me happy and light me up. And it's pretty fun. Okay. So page one. Yeah. So I put a bunch of questions here. I keep saying, so isn't that fun? I just realized I put a bunch of different statements or questions to let you think and sort of push your brain to think differently from different angles. But anything that makes you happy, anything that makes you come alive, anything that sparks you, put it there. Okay. And also, if you want to put them into the chat, it's sometimes really fun to get ideas from other people. We once had one retreat where everyone wrote about avocados making them happy. And that week, I think everybody had avocados for lunch. Okay. So question number one, make a list of things that I like. Simple. What do you like? I like dark chocolate. The darker, the better. If it's not 70% or more, then it's probably not worth it. All right. And it has to be really good quality too. What else do you like? Push yourself a little. Dancing. Very nice. Dancing used to make me happy. Ooh. So maybe it still makes you happy, but you're just not dancing in the right place or with the right people. Think about it. Let it sink in a little. Maybe after this, you'll start looking for a different dance class or something fun, new music. Organizing trips and vacations. Awesome. The Dead Sea. See, this is an example of how me and my mother are different. My mother loves the Dead Sea. I don't like the Dead Sea. I don't like the way it like itches. I don't like the way it's like oily, the water. It's like, you know, it burns in your eyes. If it gets in your eyes, right? So like, we're all so unique. The reason why you're making this list is because this is your list. It's the thing that makes you happy. Praying makes me happy. Yes, I love it. Praying makes me happy too. It makes me feel connected and I like feeling connected. Hence my business name, Connected For Real. Great. Let's keep going. Things that make me happy. We just said those things. Okay. The things that ground me. I'll give you some examples. Reflexology really grounds me, right? Getting a foot massage, like it's like I could be floaty and all over the place and getting a reflexology treatment will bring me back to earth. My children make me happy. My children make me happy too when they're not sick and holding on to me all day long. Just kidding. That just happened today and yesterday. EFT tapping grounds me. Very good. Write that down. Yoga grounds me. Right? Journaling grounds me. I'm giving you some ideas, but you find your own. The little things are the simple things that light me up. Right? I don't need big things. I like words. I'm a words of affirmation. What words of affirmation girl, right? You could say, oh, you look so nice today. I'll be like, woo! I love people. I like hanging out with people. I like connecting. What are the little things that make you happy? Oh, I like flowers, right? I like a flower from the garden. I don't need something fancy. I don't need a whole bouquet. Make this unique to you. Organizing grounds me. Great. I love it. Foods or snacks that lift my spirit. I'll give you some ideas. Date balls, dates with nuts, banana with peanut butter, smoothies. These are all things that I love. Okay. And it took me a while to find my things. All my favorites. Yes. By the way, like I have friends who like junk food and they come to my house and they're like, you have nothing to eat. And I'm like, I think the same thing about your house, but that's why it's so much fun. Dancing fits for me in every category. Ugh, I love that. Oatmeal with banana and peanut butter. Yes. You can dance while eating. She says dancing fits in every category except the food one. Who knows? By the way, for me, when I did this one time, because I do this, a lot of times, this is one of the things that grounds me, is getting deeper and deeper into what makes me happy. So one of the things that I found with foods and snacks, sometimes it's not about the food or the snack. It's about the plate or the cup I'm using. So I stopped using plastic cups because they make me feel like a kid. All my kids are using plastic cups. I made it my business to always drink out of glass because glass makes me feel so happy. And it's funny, even the mug that I use, I went out of my way to get a glass mug because I realized it makes me happier than having a ceramic mug. And if I do use a ceramic mug, I have a gigantic one that makes me really happy when it's like really cold out there and you need like a double cup of hot, then that's what I use. But sometimes it's not about the food itself. It's about how you eat it, right? So being aware of these things are really helpful. The next question is, ingredients I love to have on hand that enhance my meal. Think about it. Yes. By the way, when you say other people, you know, my kids being nice to each other makes me happy. Yes, I know, but you can't control your kids, right? Or my husband being thoughtful and kind. I know, that's very nice. It makes all of us happy, but we can't control it. So even though it's true that it makes us happy, you know, world peace also makes me very happy. I just can't control it. Blueberries. Yum. Food someone else prepares. Very good, because then you know that, you know, that's something that you can always lean into, is getting someone else to make your food and like prepare it for you. Toasted almonds and sesame seeds. Awesome. Right? I have craisins in the fridge and I just grab a handful of craisins and put them on my salad. Automatically, the salad is fancy. Slivered almonds, same thing, right? Don't need to do much. You just add the little things, cilantro, parsley. If I have cilantro in the house and it's already chopped and all I have to do is just put it into my food, I've just up-leveled my meal, right? Now I feel like I'm in a restaurant. And this is so easy to do if I know about it and I think ahead. Fresh ginger and lemons, yes. You're right. I can't control his behavior, but I appreciate when I'm treated respectfully with love. Yes, we all appreciate it. It's very, very good to appreciate being loved and respected. It's not something you can control. So what we're going to do is we're constantly going to get back to, what do I want? What do I need? What can I control for myself? And then they're going to join us when we become the best version of ourselves. They're going to see, hey, she's super happy. Why is she so happy? I must have something to do with it, because they take responsibility for our happiness somehow, right? We said that already. It's not about, it's just how they think. It's just their thing. So go out there and be happy. And then let them join you. This is what we do, by the way. This is what we're going for, okay? Really good salt. I'm so happy that you know that you found that, because that's a detail that now you're never, ever going to be cheap about salt again, because it really matters to you, right? Like, there was a time when I was like, yeah, but what, I'm going to spend that much money on the fancy chocolate if I could just get the cheap chocolate? Yes, I am. I'm not going to get the cheap chocolate. It just doesn't make me happy. Right? It's like, once you give yourself permission to be happy, then you don't have to apologize for being happy. It works every time. Okay. This one's my favorite. If money wasn't an issue, I would do more of this. Go. Get massages. Get facials. Travel. What else? Take a moment and fill it out. By the way, the reason why I started getting reflexology is because I wrote down in my first time when I did this, my first retreat, I wrote it. I do my own homework, by the way, just to make sure that it works and that you guys get the most powerful. I would do more of nothing. Learn a new trade. Get another degree. Venice, I love it. I'm here to learn from you. Wonderful. I'm so happy you're here. I did this homework, right, the first time around. And I wrote reflexology. And I was like, oh, yeah, if I had the money for it, I would totally get reflexology. And then suddenly, a lady down my block wrote a WhatsApp message in the women's group that I don't belong to anymore. She wrote, I'm learning to be a reflexologist and I need some guinea pigs. I'm like, me? Yes, please. And by the way, I've been with her since forever and ever and a half. And like, it's so wonderful because it's something I know I like. And because I'm with her from the beginning, I get a good discount. I'm a loyal customer. I go all the time and it works, right? It's grounding me. I know to make an appointment before a retreat. I do because it helps me arrive, right? It's amazing. I think I don't allow myself to be happy because on some level, I feel I have to hold myself back as a wife and mom, even though I know it's not true. Maybe this codependent thing. Yes. So now with the couple of minutes that we have left, I want to do a meditation. And tomorrow we're going to get into the second part of the call method, which is ask for abundance, right? Today was day one, is all about yourself, getting to know what makes you happy, what makes you come alive. Tomorrow is ask for abundance, is we're going to connect to God. And we're going to talk about God baggage, and we're going to talk about how we connect to God, and we're going to actually do a really fun meditative experience that I have planned for you. So make sure you come back. Same time, same place, same Zoom link. But right now I want to take the last couple of minutes, and I want to do a meditation that has exactly to do with what you just said in the chat. And that is, yeah, let's do it. I don't have to explain it. You guys know how to close your eyes and take a deep breath. Okay. Find what grounds you. Wiggle into a comfortable position. Take a deep breath. Exhale everything that happened before now and all the to-do lists in your head. Just get present. And when you're ready, we're going to start walking. Go walk down your block. Look around. Keep walking. And right there on the right side, there's an alleyway you've never seen before. So you get curious and you go check it out. And you follow it and it takes you to the most beautiful place. Ah, the light, the beautiful flowers, the trees, the shade. The way the light goes through the leaves and plays, the smell. The birds. The sounds. Everything is so beautiful. And all the beauty is a gift from God. Breathe that in. Allow yourself to expand and enjoy that beautiful space and just be. God didn't have to make it colorful. He could have made it black and white. God didn't have to make smells or colors, sunshine, different types of green. Everything could have been different, boring, but he chose to make it rich and beautiful and diverse and magnificent because he wanted you to fully enjoy it. Take a deep breath in. Put your hands on your heart and say, I don't have to do anything to deserve being happy. I am worthy of enjoying this world. God made it this way on purpose. And he made me so I can enjoy it. Let it seep in. Take another moment to really bring it all together. And when you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes. How was that for you? Fabulous. I love it. That's a wonderful word. I want you to take something from your list. Love your voice and calmness you bring. Oh, you're welcome. Delicious. Yes. Take something from your list and do it today for yourself. And then get on the WhatsApp group and tell us, show us a picture. Because when you do it and then share it, we can all cheer you on, but we can also get ideas, right? One of the retreats, someone took a picture of her bathtub full of little candles. It's like, I finally did it. I made myself a bubble bath. Right. And everybody went home and wrote bubble bath on their list. It was very cute. Right. Or somebody like actually went out and bought herself the aromatherapy that she wanted. Right. Someone made herself a hot cocoa and really enjoyed it. Whatever it is that you decided to do, take it from your list and do it. And then show us, because we're going to keep you accountable to taking care of yourself and to loving yourself and being happy. The imagery is fabulous. Yes. Yes, yes. Oh my goodness. I love being here. I'm so happy that you're with me. We're going to respect everyone's time and we're going to end here. But I want to tell you a couple of things before you leave. Tomorrow is all about God. Right? Day one is about yourself. Day two is about God. We're going to get to day three when your husband, don't worry. We're going to deal with him, but He's not first priority. First priority is for you to know you're worthy, to enjoy, to come alive, to become that version of you that you want to be, and everything else follows. Okay. Tomorrow we're going to talk about God. As I said, don't miss it. It's a really powerful one. The implementation calls. I have to introduce that because I didn't speak about it in the beginning and I forgot. The implementation calls are a 15-minute call that you get for free with me. A, because I love to meet people and I love to make friends, and you're here anyway, so why not? Two, the implementation calls are based on the fact that, you know, when I started this, it was the beginning of COVID, and I was thinking if we did this in person, you would have a couple of minutes to catch me and speak to me on the way to the next class or something, but you don't have that on Zoom. So when are you going to get to ask your questions or, you know, thank me or tell me how awesome I am? So I made these 15-minute calls. It's really fun. Everybody from the last 800 people who have taken this marriage breakthrough retreat, I know, could you believe it? 800 people. They all said the implementation call was the thing that made this the most valuable. Like, even if you don't come to any classes, but you come to the implementation call, you're going to get so much out of it. I'm so shocked that I could be that reliant in any way. Yes, I know. I know. So was I. You mean reliant on God or reliant on your husband? Because I was thinking reliant on your husband, but now I realize maybe you mean something else. Whatever. You let me know in the chat. Thank you. You're amazing. Thank you. As I said, I love words, so just keep them coming. Okay. I love you all. I will see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. I'm super excited and I can't wait to see you on the implementation call and tomorrow. Love you all. It's me again, Rebbetzin Bapren Grossman, and I wanted to make sure that you loved it. If you want to go deeper and actually come live to the sessions of the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, please visit connectedforreal.com/retreat. As part of the retreat, you get to meet one-on-one with me on an implementation call, and you have access to that link when you sign up. Make sure you download the workbook. You have also access to the WhatsApp group and a bunch of other bonuses. So go and enjoy. connectedforreal.com/retreat.